been going through our series on Sunday nights about rising up and building. Brother Crutcher will be preaching tonight, so this morning I decided to do the message that I was planning on doing this evening and leaving the book of Acts probably for a few weeks until after Easter. But in Nehemiah, we've been talking about rising up and building. And that's our theme for this year. And you can see our theme verse for the year that's up there in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 18. To give you a little background here, Nehemiah is sitting and he's serving. He's the cupbearer of the great emperor. And he sees his brethren come from Jerusalem, and they begin to tell him how bad the city is and how the walls are all broken down, how the walls are all ruined in chapter number 1. And we talked about if we're ever really going to change our Christian lives, if we're ever going to rise up and build our Christian lives, it's going to have to begin with this. We're going to have to see a need. If we don't see the need, we will never try to change. And we looked at this, and we tried a lot of different things on Sunday evenings, looking at the idea of how, there's things we need to grow in. The Bible talks about growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of Christ saying, I will build my church. He wants us to grow as Christians. He wants us to be stronger Christians. He wants us to grow more like Christ each and every day. And that's what our Sunday evening series has kind of been about. It's been, rising up, talks about getting out of our complacency, getting out of where we're used to, not being satisfied with where we're at in our Christian life, and wanting to build upon it, to grow as Christians. And Nehemiah saw the need in chapter number 1. And in chapter number 2, he lays that building block of prayer. You see in chapter number 1, he fasts, he prays. We talk about not getting ahead of God, talk about preparing the work. And we come to this thought, or this verse here in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 18. There's an interesting phrase at the end. And let's look here. We're going to read verses 17 and 18. The Bible says, "Then said I unto them," who is Nehemiah talking to? He's talking to the leaders that are found in Jerusalem. He says, "Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." So Nehemiah is led by God throughout this whole entire thing. God gives him favor with the king. God gives him all the things he needs. He gives him safety in the travel. He gives them the material to build the wall. And he goes to the people of Jerusalem and says, look, we are a reproach. The walls are torn down. We need to build them up. In verse number 18, it says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me." And we talked about this a few weeks ago on Sunday night. He mentioned these to the leaders. He's saying, hey, look, this is how God has been working. This is how God has led me since day one. I saw the burden. I began praying. I began fasting. I waited for God to move the heart of the king. As he moved the heart of the king, I then became prepared. We've made this journey. We've taken a look at all the city. Now let's get up and let's get ready to build. So he begins talking to the people about exactly the things that God has laid upon his heart, as also the king's word that he has spoken unto me. And they said, the group responds, after hearing how God's been working, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hand for this good work. Now here's the thought. They get to this spot and they said, we agree. Walls look bad. We definitely need to build up the walls. They're a reproach. It should not be this way. This is the city of Jerusalem. The temple's been rebuilt. Now we need to do something about these walls. They're excited about it. But here's the thought for this morning. Now we get excited about changing our Christian lives. As God speaks to our hearts, and sometimes when we're reading our Bible, God just works on us and says, we want you to change this. We want you to do this different. We want you to start doing this. And we start getting these thoughts of God speaking to us and saying, hey, we want to be different. And I think most Christians would say that. I see places where I'm weak at in my Christian life and I want to grow. I want to be a better prayer warrior. I want to be more knowledgeable about the Bible. I want to be a better soul winner, a better husband, a better wife. God speaks to all of us differently about different things we need to work on. So let's go ahead and let's rise up and let's build. Let's do this. We get excited. But the problem is the adrenaline goes away. Problem is sometimes we realize what Jesus was telling disciples. The Spirit is willing. And indeed, the Spirit of God that lives in us is willing to work in us and use us in a great and mighty way. But the flesh is weak. And so what that little last passage, strengthen, it says at the end of verse number 18, strengthen their hands for this good work. In my mind, they began to be prepared for the work they were getting ready to do. They knew God wanted them to do it. They were inspired by Nehemiah. They had gotten excited. The adrenaline was pumping. They said, okay, let's rise up and build. But before they started building, they prepared to build. I want to encourage you in our Christian lives. I told you at the beginning of the year, my goal for our church is for all of us to be a stronger Christian at the end of the year than at the beginning of the year. That's what our desire is, to grow. That's where we get our song from, the theme song. It's this idea, it's a race, it's set before us. Let's look at this as 365 days. Let's make the changes that maybe in the past we've been inspired to do, and we just kind of shift away from doing it. And here in the story, he says they strengthen their hands. And most of you know me, I'm not very good at carpentry things. I've never really built many things in my life, but in my novice mind, I began thinking, okay, what's some of the things they would have done to strengthen their hands in building the wall? I thought, well, maybe one of the first things they would have done is they would probably got some material. That's needed. If you're going to build something, you need the materials to make it with. And I began thinking, you know, what is going to have to happen for them to be successful? First, they need material. Secondly, they need to clear off any type of distractions. You think about it. You know, if they had a job, they were going to stop this job and they were going to start building the wall. So they would have to maybe take care of this, maybe this give this responsibility to someone else and give this, most of you know, going to Maryland to preach my grandmother's funeral here soon. And, you know, yesterday, I spent a lot of time yesterday just preparing for that and making sure my responsibilities were all covered. So it's the idea here, they had to free themselves from distractions so they could focus on the wall. I think something else they probably would have done is they probably would have made sure they had enough help. They knew they could not build the wall on their own. They would have been encouraging one another. Okay. You're going to get this section, you're going to get your section, you're going to get this section, and they build the wall together. I also think they would have learned what they needed to do. There might have been some that were used to working with the sheep, never built anything before, and they would have learned, you know what, you got to put this brick this way, you got to lay the mortar this way. They would have been strengthening their hands to get ready to do this great work. So this morning, I like to give you just a few practical things. It's a little different message than what we normally would have on a Sunday morning. A few practical things that can strengthen you and get you ready for the work God wants you to do. Nehemiah had in his mind, in his heart, he knew God wanted him to build this wall. God laid the burden on his heart. He fasted about it. He prayed about it. He saw God working through the king, through the king's life, by providing everything he needed. He got there. Verse number 10, they talk about that he received. People were upset about it. Believe me, if you're going to try to do something for the Lord, if you're going to try to grow as a Christian, people are going to be upset about it. He went out and he walked around the walls. He looked at Jerusalem. He saw the state it was in. And he says, something needs to be done. And 2 weeks ago, I encourage you, take a walk around your life. Look at your Christian life. Look at the weaknesses and look at the places where you need to repair and the things that you need to build upon. Take a good look around and walk around and say, hey, look, I need to be better at being faithful, or I need to be better at not running my mouth, or I need to be better at stop lying, or whether it's giving, whether it's serving. And now we come to a spot, we've recognized where we need to work on it. Now, how do we get there? Here's, I think, about five different things. You'll have to forgive me this morning. I left my notes somewhere. I don't know where my notes are at, but they're up on the screen. So I'll have to turn my head every once in a while. It's not because I don't trust the guy back in the sound booth. It's just because I don't have my notes, and I want to make sure I go in order. But the first thing I know is real, and the first thing I know is true, is the fact that we need to remember the power source. We need to remember where our power comes from. If you look up there, it says, ask God for strength and for help. And if you look in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse number 9, it talked about how their hands had gotten weak. I think we've all been there, haven't we? God has inspired us. He wants us to change our lives. And our spirit is willing. We come to an altar. And maybe for a day, maybe for 2 days, we'll get things right. And then what happens? The adrenaline's gone. It's hard. Our flesh is weak. Our flesh is fighting against it. But it says in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse number 9, the word of God, for they all made us afraid, saying their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Now this is a prayer. It's to God. He's saying, look, they're afraid. People have made us afraid. We no longer think we can do it. They don't want the work to be accomplished. And the devil doesn't want you the work to be accomplished in your life. The devil wants you to do what he wants you to be happy. He wants you to be complacent. He wants you to be satisfied. If he knows he got you to be lukewarm, he knows that God's not happy. He knows if he got you where you're just going to sit and never try to grow as a Christian, he's satisfied and he knows that you're not going to do anything for God. But when you rise up to build, you got to remember who the power source is. I mean, so often we have tried to do this on our own. So often we have tried our hardest and worked our hardest to be able to accomplish something, but it's by God's Spirit and by God's might. It's not by my spirit. It's by God's Spirit and by God's might anything can accomplish. He is our power source. And we got to remember that when we begin to rise up and build, it's not about what I can work up. It's not about what I can accomplish in my own strength. It's how much I surrender over to the Lord. It's how much I get on my knees and I pray. It's how close I get to Him. And you see this over and over in the book of Nehemiah. It talked about when Nehemiah had an issue or when Nehemiah had a problem, he went to the Lord. He prayed about it and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. Why is that? Because he recognized the only way that that wall was going to be built, the only way that wall was going to be able to be accomplished is with God's help and with God's strength. I want to encourage you this morning, if God has been speaking to your heart as he's been speaking to mine through this book of Nehemiah, and you took that walk around the wall and you looked at the different spots in your life that need to be repaired and different spots you need to grow in, the different spots you struggle in, and say, there's something I need to change and it's right here. The only person that can change that is God. Because if not, if it's not built upon the right foundation, like we talked about in the second week of January, it's gonna, when the storms come and when the winds come, it's gonna fall right down. I'm gonna encourage you this morning. Trust your power source. Second point is remove, commit to a purpose larger than yourself. The third point is remove all things that weaken you. So commit to something that is larger and more important than yourself. Look what it says in Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse number 17. There's a commitment that's being made here. Nehemiah says, look, there is something more valuable here than ourselves. I want to encourage you, the work of God is bigger than one individual. The work of God is bigger than one individual. The work of God is not about how you feel about things. The work of God is trying to get God's work accomplished in the world. And as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, when we talked about when you rise up to build a wall, there are going to be people who complain. There are going to be people who say, oh, we've never done it that way, or I don't think I should. And you know what they're doing? They are viewing everything on how it responds to them and them alone. They could forget about how it could help the church, or how it could help building the walls. You see, the Samaritans, they didn't like the fact that they were building, and they begin murmuring, they begin complaining. They says, we don't like this. We don't like the fact that somebody's come to look after Israel and the extent of Israel. And that's what happens many times when the church begins to build, when the church begins to grow and something's starting to happen and there's people who are not being spiritually minded. And instead of looking at how it could be a good thing for the church, they start saying, well, I don't like it because this means I'm going to have to do this, or I'm going to have to do that, or I'm going to have to get out of my comfort zone. You know, that's not what church is about. The cause of Jesus Christ is more important than any of our own thinking or our own fleshly needs. You know, why was Paul willing to give his life? Why was Stephen willing to die? Why was these martyrs willing to lay down their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ? Because it's more important than themselves. The church is more important than one individual. I tell people all the time, you know, it's not my church, it's God's church. I'm thankful he allowed me to be the under-shepherd of the church, but it's our church. But more importantly, it's God's church. And you know what? It's bigger than me. It's bigger than you. There is a cause. There's people dying and going to hell. And we need to do something about it. We need to commit ourselves to something greater. And when we look at our lives, when we take that walk around the wall, and we see in our lives that we need to change this, we need to change this, we need to realize that is a spiritual growth that needs to happen that's more important than my own fleshly desires. I need to stop saying no to the Lord and start saying no to the flesh and yes to the Lord. And we need to commit this. This is a commitment. You know, indecision is something that just causes commitment to go away. When you're indecisive, well, I don't know, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. You know what? commit to something greater than yourself. And that's what these people here in this wall here, they see here in verse 17, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." He's saying, look, there's something big here. This is God's house. God's been working. This is God's place. This is God's been working all with me. He says there's something greater here that we need to work on than our own houses. There's something that is worth us committing to. And committing fully to is something that we are willing to give everything to and say, this is more important than my 401k. This is more important than my entertainment. This is more important than all these other things. I need to strengthen my hand. I need to make a commitment to something that is greater. I need to see that this is more important than anything that's going on in this physical world. Is a spiritual world, is a spiritual battle, and I need to strengthen my hand. I need to ask God for help firstly, and then secondly, I need to make a commitment. I need to say, I am all in, and I'm going to do what's necessary because I see this is more important than what my normal life is all about. So often we get things so mixed up. Nehemiah gets in the focus and says, look, this is important. This is key. Commit yourself to something greater. And that's what I encourage you this morning too. What is it that we're doing in our lives? Some of us are building a great house. Some of us are building a good family. Some of us are building a good job. And there's not anything wrong with those things. But spiritual things are the greater. The Bible says, lay up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal. That this is where our concern. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. There is something greater you can do with your life. Young people, don't ever apologize about wanting to serve God with your life. Nothing greater you can do than do God's will for your life. Commit yourself to something greater in your life. Don't commit it to things that are just not going to last. Third thing I want you to see is, and this is where we need to release the things that weaken us. Release the things that weaken us. And in this verse in Hebrews chapter number 1, it talks about there's besetting sins and laying aside. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. You know, it is really, really hard to say, I'm going to be on a diet and I'm going to work hard and I'm going to try to lose weight and all I ever do is eat Twinkies. I mean, that is tough to do, isn't it? You know, there is to say, okay, I'm going to lose weight and all I'm going to do is drink Mountain Dew. Amen. I like Mountain Dew. You can have your coffee. I'm going to drink my Mountain Dew. And Mountain Dew and pudding cake. If you don't know what pudding cake is, you're missing something. I mean, there is hard to say, I'm going to be fully committed. I'm going to ask God for help. Then I need to release those things that are weakening me. I need to get rid of those things that are slowing me down. Those things that are so easily besetting us. If I'm going to strengthen my hands, if I'm going to make myself prepared and ready to build my Christian life, to do something for God, there are certain things I'm just going to have to say no to. I can imagine these men, and if you listen to it, there's a lot of things that these men had to release. If you're going to hear the story, they're going to build this wall in record time. It's going to talk about how they don't hardly sleep, how they just continue on working and working and working. There's a lot of things they had to give up to build this wall. And I'm telling you, there's more things important in this life than the temporal pleasures of this world. Their entertainment is not worth it. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think there's wrong with enjoying a little bit of entertainment. I think there's nothing wrong as long as it's a godly type of entertainment. But there is a lot of things that are pulling us back and that are dragging us down. And we're not able to grow as a Christian because we have become so interested and so stuck on the things of this world that we have missed the whole point that God wants us to grow as a Christian. We need to release these things. We need to walk around that wall like we talked about and say, you know what? I watch that TV too much. That friendship is really dragging me down. That friendship is not encouraging me in my walk with God. That is making me a worse Christian. I'm just going to have to get rid of that. And you know what? That entertainment, that book, that time waster, whatever it is. And, you know, some people, I know they don't mind social media. And I know sometimes people use social media for some good things. I think it's a lot of gossip a lot of times, but sometimes people look at social media and they can use it for some profitable things. But I tell you, it can be a huge time waster. Some people need to release that and they need to spend their time doing things that matter. You know, one preacher at a youth conference said, you need to get your face out of Facebook and get it in the book. I thought that was kind of good. They said, you have to release these things that are slowing you down and are holding you back from building that wall. And these men, when they had to build, they had to give up some things. They had to say, you know what? This is going to slow me down. I need to make sure this is ready. I need to take care of these things. Christian, if you're going to grow in your Christian life, there's some things you got to release. There got to be some relationships, some, like I said, maybe entertainment things, maybe some things that are holding us back because we're not using our money wisely. Whatever it is, maybe it's our anger, maybe it's our pride. You know, we need to release some things. We need to look at this wall and say, you know what? I need to build. I know some of you aren't always here on Sunday nights. We're not talking about building a gym. We're not talking about building a church building. We're talking about looking at our lives and strengthening and building as a Christian. And the only way you're going to do that is if you can release some things. I can tell you story after story in my Christian life, God has spoken to certain things and says, I want you to stop this. I want you to get rid of this. And I had to release some things. Why is it? It drew me closer to God. It helped me to say, you know what? I was spending too much time in sports. I was spending too much time on a certain relationship. I was spending too much time. Some of it was not even bad things, but it was occupying my time and I had to release it if I was going to build that wall. The fourth thing I want you to think about is, I think it's the friend, look beyond the rubbish. Look beyond the rubbish. And we need to see what God can do. Look what it says in 2:17, the walls, the gates are burned with fire and they're destroyed. And chapter number one, it talks about how bad the things are. In chapter one, verse number three, it says, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall also is broken down. The gates thereof are burned with fire. It's a pretty bad sight. Most people to walk up to these walls and think, they're ruined. You can't do anything with that. Or like we talked about a couple weeks ago, most people will look up at the walls and say, why do we need walls? We haven't had walls for a long time. We've been just fine. Now, these are oppositions to what God's trying to do, and maybe God's trying to do in your life. And we got to remember here that we need to look beyond the rubbish. We need to look beyond maybe the past failures. We need to look beyond where you think these gates here is a sign of failure. This wall here, when it's burned down, is a sign that sin came into Israel and Nebuchadnezzar came into Israel and destroyed. And over the years, the weeds have built up. But you got to look past all that rubbish. You got to look past all that junk. You got to look past all the grief you have in your life and the sin you have built up in your life and say, you know what? God can help me be clean. God can help me do something. God can help me get past this. God can make me a servant useful for His honor. See, some people looked at those walls and they said, forget it. We're going through the book of Haggai on Wednesday night, some people looked at the temple they were building. It was much smaller and they began weeping because it wasn't like it used to be. God didn't intend it to be like it used to be. We got to remember that when you see an individual or even see in your own life, we got to look beyond that rubbish and say, you know what? Look what God can do. Look what God can happen. God takes these walls and He causes them to be built and He causes them to happen. Why? It's because we can see what God can do. And remember, it goes back to asking God for strength. You know, you can say, man, I made a mess of my life. I made a mess of my marriage. I made a mess of my kids. I made a mess of my Sunday school class. I've made a mess of this. I made a mess of that. Look beyond the rubbish. Make a commitment to something greater than you. Ask God for help. Release those things that are pulling you down and see what God can do in your life. Too many times we do not serve God. We do not rise up and build is because we do not think that God can do it. Now we would never say that, but we have never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We've never taken that step of faith and saying, God, I am finally giving up my worrying. I am finally going to give up this. I'm going to finally give up this. And we release those things and let God work in our hearts. Next thing I want you to think about is, how do you strengthen your hand? You ask God for help. You look beyond the rubbish. You seek godly counsel. Fellowship with godly friends and seek godly counsels. If you look at these verses up here, it talks about how Jonathan saw a son arose and went to David into the wood. And what happens? And strengthened his hand in God. He came, and David was at a spot and a time in his life where he knew he was going to die if he stayed in Jerusalem. He stayed near Saul. And you know what? Jonathan saw his need. Jonathan went along his side and he strengthened his hand. You're going to have people in your life that are going to come along you and strengthen your hand. They're going to say things like, we're praying for you. And I don't know how many people said that today. And what an encouragement about my grandmother passing. You don't know how many times my mom has said, you know what, the people of your church have been praying. That's why your grandmother feels better. That's why your dad's getting better. And people have mailed my mom from North Carolina cards. You know what that has done? That has strengthened her hand. She has gotten more cards from here than I think she's gotten probably even from her own church there. What are you trying to do? You're trying to strengthen her hand. And there are going to be people in your life that are going to come alongside and say, hey, I want to help you be a Christian. I want to help you grow. I want to help you build. And you know what? Those are the people we need to be around. Iron sharpened iron. And it says, iron sharpened iron, so sharpened is the countenance of his friend. But also, seek counsel. It says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Pastor, what do you mean? Well, I think it's good to seek counsel when you're trying to strengthen your hand. Maybe if your marriage, and once again, you don't need to be sharing your mess with everybody else. You don't need to be gossiping with everybody else. But if your marriage is struggling, find somebody who you appreciate their marriage and you know they love the Lord. You know that they grow together and they've been serving for, you know what? Get some counsel from them and be encouraged by them. If you need help in other areas, find people that you look to and say, not somebody who's going to agree with you, but someone who says, I want a marriage like them because they have a representation of what Jesus Christ is doing. I want to talk like them. I want to act like them. Once again, it's like Jesus Christ, but there are people who can help us and grow in our Christian walks. And you know, if you see somebody who you want some help raising your kids, don't go to the person whose kids are acting rebellious. Go to the person whose kids that God is using. Let's seek counsel, because it says here, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Many times when we go and we do things on our own, we try our own strengths, we're going to be disappointed. Why? Because the Spirit, it is willing. It wants to do what's right. It wants to build. But the flesh, it's weak. So we have to get rid of, we have to release those friends that are not going to help us. And we need to find some people who are going to sharpen us. We don't need to be around people who are gossips. We don't need to be around people who we know we don't want to be like. I have sometimes people come up to me and say, Pastor, you know, this person, this individual is dragging me down in my Christian life. I said, look, don't ignore them. Pray for them. Try to be a help to them. But that should not be one of your close friends. That's not someone who you should be allowing to sharpen you, because you know what? They're going to drag you down. You pray for them. You try to help them any way you can, but that's not one of your spiritual confidants. Find someone who can encourage you. Be that to somebody else. Last but not least, give thanks. Be thankful. You see the verse here, and I know it's towards the end of Nehemiah. It says, also that days are offered great sacrifices and rejoice, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. Find your joy in God. If you want to strengthen your hand, don't find your joy in those things that you have to release. Don't find your joy in those relationships you got to break. Don't find your joy in the fact you have satisfied yourself in what you've done. Find your joy in God. The wives also and the children rejoice, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. It says that everyone heard the joy. Oh, that men would learn to praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. This is one of the key reasons why we do not strengthen our hands. We forget to give thanks. Because when we view our whole entire life, we see the mercy that God has given us. We see the salvation that he's offered us. We see the grace he has extended to us. We have so much to be thankful for. But when we try to strengthen our hands, you know what we do? We go over here and we sit down and we start thinking, well, I guess I can't do that anymore. I guess I can't talk to that person. We start throwing ourselves a pity party. We haven't realized this is a greater cause than me. My Christian life is more important than what I can get out of it. It's about what God can do with me. It's about what God can do with a life. And I have surrendered my life to Christ. I've given it to Christ. I've been bought with a price. But no, I'm over here throwing a pity party thinking, this is just so hard. This is so tough. I just wish I could. You know what? I know it's difficult. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What are we going to do? We're going to have to strengthen our hands. We're going to have to get ready. We're going to have to say, God, I need your help to do this. God, I need to realize that this is more important than my own fleshly needs, and I need to release some of the things that have been holding me back. I need to see beyond the rubbish. I need to seek and have godly friends who are going to encourage me and sharpen me. Say, I don't have any like that. Be that to someone else. Ask God to send someone to you. You say, Pastor, you know, look for someone. There's somebody else that's looking for it too. And then seek godly counsel. But through it all, learn to give thanks. Learn to praise the Lord for what he's done in your life. This morning, I'm here to tell you that if you're a Christian on your way to heaven, you have so much to be thankful for. If you say, Pastor, I'm not a Christian, then we need to get that settled. Jesus Christ saw your need and God loved you so much that he sent his son down on the cross to die you for your sins. Because of your sins, you are going to pay a penalty, an awful penalty for all eternity in a place called hell. But God commended his love toward us that while we are yet sinners, while we are headed to hell, Christ died for us. We have something to be thankful for. This morning, if you've never put your faith in just in Jesus Christ, let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're saved this morning, though, we put this challenge out at the beginning of January. Let's rise up. Let's build. Let's grow in our Christian life. How are we doing? 2 months, 2 weeks in. Are we growing? Pastor, I'm a little weak here. I'm falling here. Let's strengthen our hand. Let's ask God for help. Let's remember to seek God for help. Let's release those things. Let's remember the cause of Christ is worthy of our lives. Now, to be honest with you, I don't know how it would happen, but I can imagine if someone came through that door and said, either you die, either you recant or, you know, say you don't believe in Jesus Christ or you die. I bet you a number of people in this room would say, I'm going to die before I ever curse the name of Jesus Christ. But some of those same people are not willing to live for him. We'd be willing to die for him. We'd be willing to be a martyr for him. Be willing to walk through the fire, stand before the firing squad, be willing to do this, this, and this. But when God says, I want you to grow in this area, we go back to over here. Well, it's not really that big of a deal. We haven't done it that way before. It's going to take a lot of work. I die for you, but would I live for you? Let's strengthen those things. Let's strengthen our hand. Let's get us prepared for the work. Let us move forward here. Let's do the things that's going to get us ready to serve and grow. Let's not just leave it to a whim. Well, if I get up early tomorrow, I'm going to read my Bible. Strengthen your hand. Set your alarm clock. And then set the one on your cell phone for when you hit the snooze button. And then set another one if you need it. Put the alarm clock on the other side of the room so you actually have to get up to walk over to hit it if you struggle. What are those things? That is strengthening your hand. You know, I struggle when I go to this certain place. Then don't go to that place. Why? Because I'm strengthening my hand. I struggle when I watch this TV show. Well, they don't watch TV during that time, so you don't have the temptation to turn it back over. Get rid of the TV if you can't handle it. Why? Because you're strengthening your hand. You're preparing for the great work. You're trying to do something here. I want to encourage you this morning. Are we really taking it seriously? Have we strengthened our hands to prepare for this great work? There is a cause that is greater. Greater than me or you or our comforts. It's the cause of Jesus Christ. We have the ability and God wants to use us to bring people to Jesus Christ. Are we strengthening our hands, preparing for the work that God's given us? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.